And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is alternative perceptions. Each of my guests is explaining how one slight change in perception can make a world of difference. My next guest created an alternative perception about being a genius. She concludes, we're all geniuses. We'll discuss how to unleash the genius within us from her latest book titled Practical Genius. Now, if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Gina Amara Rodan is the president of Genuine Insights Incorporated, a contemporary professional development and training practice whose mission is to leverage the genius within every individual and every organization. She's the author of the book Practical Genius, The Real Smarts You Need to Get Your Passions and Talents Working for You. She's the founder of TEDxMIA, which is an independent movement to spread genius in Southern Florida. Before launching her own practice, Gina held management positions at Fortune 500 companies, including Avon Products and PR Newswire, where she was responsible for spearheading multicultural and international marketing efforts. In 2010, Gina was selected one of Powder Magazine's top 20 under 40 Hispanics in the United States. She's a native New Yorker. She graduated with a bachelor's degree in English literature from Brigham Hampton University and the National Urban Fellow, holding a master's degree in public administration from Burdick College in New York City. She now lives in Miami with her husband and her son. Joining us, though, from New York City, how are you today, Gina?
I am wonderful, Bill. Thank you for having me, and hello to the West Coast.
Yeah, welcome to the West Coast. It was great. I loved your book, Practical Genius. I have to admit, though, Gina, I blushed when I got to chapter two because you talk about my G-spot.
I do. And we all have two G-spots. Isn't that exciting? The second one, G, being for genius. It's a nice play on words, and it grabs people's attention, and I truly think that we all possess if you're uncomfortable with the word G-spot, we all do possess a sweet spot, and that's where genius resides within each of us.
All right, so we all have genius. Now, I find that's interesting because, you know, we just had the passing of Steve Jobs, and now he's being eulogized as one of the great geniuses of the 20th and the 21st
Absolutely.
Century. Certainly, I'd like to associate myself with somebody like a Steve Jobs or a Thomas Edison or Henry Ford, somebody like that. But you say, really, we are all genius, and we can you redefine genius along five different steps in six different dimensions. So let's talk about that if we can. It begins with identifying your own genius, and that's one of the dimensions that you go along. So help us. How do we identify our genius?
So the first step in the practical genius model, which for me is really the most important for everyone to consider, is what I call the genius autopsy. This is where you stop for a moment and say, okay, if I do possess genius, what is contributing to it? And to simplify it, I've broken it down into six ingredients. The first set of ingredients that every single one of us has are your hard professional assets. Now, we've all been conditioned to obsess over these assets, and they consist of your strengths, your skills, and your expertise. This is who you are 9 to 5. This is who you are at work. This is who you are measured against during your annual review. We usually have a clear understanding of what our hard assets are. The second set of ingredients that I believe that contributes to genius are your soft personal assets. And this is where it gets fuzzy for a lot of people because maybe they haven't paid attention to their passions, their creative abilities, and their values. The other G-spot is the intersection between your hard professional assets and your soft personal assets. So if you take these six ingredients and you look at them, okay, so I know what my strengths, expertise, and skills are. I need to really think about what my creative abilities may be and my values and passions. Where those intersect, that's really where the genius zone resides. So the first step in the model is to really think about those six ingredients in your own life, jot them down, and consider where they intersect well.
All right. Now, that is a real jambalaya of those six ingredients. Let's break it down a little bit more if we can, Gina. I want to start with the hard assets.
Okay.
Yeah, it's true we get measured on the hard assets at work, but sometimes people aren't even aware of the hard asset skills that they have. So I want to talk about the skills, and you really break it down into people skills, leadership skills, problem-solving skills, communication skills, and analytics skills. Now, those are the types of things that you normally think of with left-brain thinking, and certainly we put those to work at work. How can somebody take an inventory, though? If they're not a manager, if they're just sitting and they work for a company, they clearly have these skills. How would they take inventory of all of those hard skills?
I think, especially when it comes to analytical skills, asking folks around you that you work with daily is one simple way. Within the book, I actually have a playbook, which is an exercise where people can just really tick off their high-level skills. And looking at a list of skills and identifying your top 10, let's say, is a great exercise. But I also recommend just simply asking people, what do you think I'm really strong at? You work with me every day. You know, what would you consider? I also recommend that people, if they wanted to take the StrengthsFinder StrengthsFinder is another great tool that has an online assessment that also kind of spits out your strengths really quickly, so I recommend that. But it's important for people to just ask others that they work with later to assess. You know, you can download lists of skills, common skills from most career advancement websites, and you can just tick away there. Or take a look at your last performance evaluation. That's another great cheat sheet that probably has already summarized what your top strengths, skills, and expertise are.
All right. My guest is Gina Amaro-Rudan. And Gina, just one more question, follow-on question there, because when you ask people around you about your hard skills, what happens, and how often do you see this as a consultant, what happens when there's a discrepancy between what I think my skills are and what other people feed back to me my skills are?
Oh, Bill, that's a great question, because perception is everything. And I think that you have to own your own skill set, but it's important to reflect on what other people see. So you may be leveraging and crushing it at a skill that you would never own for yourself. So you have to pay attention around perception, because you may be delivering and overperforming in an area that you have not internalized yet, which happens a great deal, especially when people look at their strengths. They tend to be surprised at what their colleagues and managers and even in other departments would identify as strengths that they have. So that's a good point. It's a nice eye-opener usually when people highlight a strength or a skill that you maybe don't really have in your top 5 or top 10 list. So that it's refreshing when that happens.
Okay, great. Now, genius, as you say, is the intersection between the hard skills and the soft skills, or the hard assets and the soft assets.
Mm-hmm.
The soft assets, as you said at the outgo, very much harder for people to get their arms around. Those are things like passion, creative abilities, values, and so forth. Talk to us about these and give us a little bit more specifics around the soft skills so we can better identify what they are.
Let's focus first on passions. If everyone listening can just take a moment and think about what they would be doing if they didn't have to work. If I gave you, you know, $1 billion, what would you be doing? That's an easy question to kind of inspire people to consider their passions. What would you be doing every day if money weren't an issue? Passions are important, and I think a lot of us ignore our passions. Some people consider them, you know, hobbies, whether it's cooking, dancing, taekwondo, reading, traveling, adventure sports, passions matter. So the first set of inventory around the soft assets I like to start off with are passions. And if people can't come up with any, which happens with some of my colleagues, I always say, okay, don't panic. I want you to explore different curiosities and see what happens, whether it's just surfing the web in an area of interest or reading a magazine, again, in an area that you may not have had time to cultivate, but you have a curiosity about. So if you're not sure what your passions are because you've been overextended and haven't had a BlackBerry-free moment, just breathe, don't panic, and you get to explore a bit and lead with some curiosity so that we can bring back clarity on exactly what are your passions. It's an important question that we should all be asking ourselves regularly.
All right, so now genius is the intersection of the hard assets and the soft assets. How do we know what that intersection is?
I consider it to be kind of an aha moment. For example, I met an amazing practical genius named Barbara DeVries, who was a fashion designer, and then she ventured into making jewelry. And during one of her summer vacations, she started cleaning up the beach. She was walking on the beach in the Bahamas and started picking up plastic. And she found herself falling in love with plastic and kind of caring around this environmental issue to reduce the plastic imprint on beaches. And then she realized, why don't I make jewelry out of the plastic I collect? And why don't I, you know, sell the jewelry and even stitch bathing suits with the plastic and enjoy watching people lay on the beach with the plastic that I've collected that's been washed up on shore. That is a practical genius moment. And Barbara DeVries is doing extremely well now and has launched a whole business around this washed up plastic that she just happened to pick up and had that intersection moment of her hard assets is she's a phenomenal designer, extremely strategic, smart businesswoman, and then her values around environmental issues, passion for creativity, passion for bringing the most two unlikely things together, which is jewelry and plastic washed up on a beach shore. And it's a perfect example of practical genius. When it happens, you know it's happening.
What a great story. My guest is Gina Amara Rodan. We're talking about her latest book, Practical Genius. So, Gina, next step then is once you've discovered what your genius is, you've identified it, now you have to express your genius. You have to tell your story. And you recommend using visual tools to help tell the story. Elaborate on that, will you please?
So visuals are amazing. I find a lot of us, you know, especially people that are within the thought leadership space or folks that are interested in doing public speaking or even just participating in a presentation or a panel for your organization, you know, that whole saying deaf by PowerPoint. I encourage people to use visuals because I find that we all have wonderful narrative and a visual goes a long way. So whenever I'm facilitating a training or I'm speaking anywhere, instead of buying stock photo, instead of, you know, killing people with 27 bullet points, I use photography that I find in my own archives or photos that friends have taken. I share sides of myself, the soft side, the value side, the passion side, the creative side, through, you know, what's pretty hard asset-driven training. So I encourage other people to use visuals. I love what the organization in San Francisco, The Grove, is doing with also having what I consider to be corporate graffiti happen, where people are working on strategic plans visually, bringing on illustrators and artists to sketch out ideas and plans and ventures and strategy. And that's another example of using the power of the visual to convey a message. But individuals themselves, whether it's a blog, a newsletter, a drawing, a sketch, a doodle to your boss around an idea, I think we should begin to use visuals as we communicate our narrative and the themes within our lives.
Oh, that's a great idea. Now, changing gears just a little bit here, we've all heard that expression, that old expression, you're known by the company you keep.
Absolutely.
You suggest in your book, surround yourself with genius. And you've identified some very fun, different types of genius. You call them Yodas, ambassadors, both online, real-time, tribe members, and fat brains. What is a Yoda? What is an ambassador? And more importantly, what's a fat brain?
Fat brain. We'll start at the top. So Yodas is, in my life, and I conducted hundreds of interviews with different leaders and scientists and doctors and executives, and I found that they all had some kind of Yoda in their life, a mentor or a sponsor that really supported them, gave them candid advice, had their back, maybe helped them get a promotion. You know, everyone listening, if you don't have a Yoda, find one. They are extremely important. And ladies listening, it's been proven that in order to advance, you really do need a sponsor and a mentor in your life. So the first category I think that each and every one of us needs is a Yoda. The second group are ambassadors. Ambassadors are your cheerleaders. These are people that are more accessible, that have your back. They tend to be extremely active online. They're connectors. I think that ambassadors can be highly engaged folks in your community or within your organization that tend to have their hands in a lot of different organizations and community projects. And I think everyone should have an army of ambassadors in their life. And my favorite group that I'm recommending, which is a new concept, are fat brains. So fat brains are young people under the age of 30. I think Gen Yers, also known as millennials, also known as digital natives, have gotten a really bad rap. And I have been mentored by a wonderful group of young people, all in their 20s. The youngest fat brain in my life is 18, and I use them as my mentors. So one premise in the book, which I'm encouraging everyone to do even today, is to walk down, you know, the aisle of your organization or, you know, within your community, within every funky, cool coffee shop, there are fat brains lingering with an amazing amount of genius available to you. And instead of looking at them as children or as proteges, I'm encouraging that everyone identify a fat brain to mentor you. They just live in a multidimensional world. They're highly resourceful. I've gotten advice from travel tips to trending information to research to fixing my iPhone.
Everything you'd need.
Everything you need, a fat brain can deliver in half the time.
That is great. My guest is Gina Amara Rodan, author of the book Practical Genius, The Real Smarts You Need to Get the Talents and Passions Working for You. And the last thing that you have in your book is Marketing Your Genius. And under that segment, once you've identified what your genius is and you've gotten all your tools around you, you've gotten your group around you, then you go out, you market it, and there you say, embrace the paradox. What do you mean by that?
So anyone that's gone to business school or has taken a marketing class knows about the four P's of marketing. And I was a marketer for 15 years, so we lived these P's, and those were price, publicity, product, and promotion. And I'm saying, let's scratch the traditional four P's of marketing when it comes to marketing ourselves, and let's just focus on paradox. And paradox for me is that bittersweet opposing force within each of us. And, you know, the premise of Practical Genius in the beginning was I was tired of being two people. I was tired of being the corporate strategic Gina and then the creative Gina, who was writing at 3 a.m., who was hanging out with 20-year-olds, who was going to the symphony and then maybe, you know, going to a graffiti art exhibit. I had all of these conflicting identities and assets within myself, and I realized once I start outing all the sides to myself, the mom Gina, the daughter Gina, the spiritual Gina, you know, there was this paradox, and I started to encourage my clients to leverage their paradox in their own branding, even in their resume and bios, and it was powerful. So the message around marketing your genius is that I'm really encouraging you to embrace the beautiful opposing forces within yourself and to exude the whole you without apology. It all matters. And we don't have to be this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and live in these nice little Tupperware bins. So when it comes to marketing your genius, know your audience, share all sides of yourself, and I promise you'll attract so much more to your life than just being a one-dimensional, conditioned professional or you know, local contributor in your community that may be hiding sides of himself or herself.
Wow. My guest is Gina Amara Rodan, author of the book Practical Genius, The Real Smarts You Need to Get Your Passions and Talents Working for You. Gina, if people are intrigued by what they hear, they want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Sure. They can visit practicalgenius.com and join the conversation. I invite everyone to share their perspectives. And also the book went on sale yesterday, so you can find it at any local bookstore. And Bill, I just want to say thank you for supporting me and having me on. This is wonderful, and this is the first time I've done live radio on the West Coast. So again, thank you for this rites of passage.
Well, it is a delight having you as our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Thank you for that. And good luck to you down the road. We'll be
thank
talking
you.
To you down the road.
Thank you. Everyone, enjoy your day.
Thanks, Gina.